You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Nobody really wants to talk about death and dying and what happens at that interface between the living and the dying. People sort of steer away from it, unless I think people perhaps have had some personal experience of it, and then their hearts are open. I think they have a lot of insight, often quite compassionate and caring. But I think it's also a bit of a reflection on how we often are in Western society, and of course New Zealand is like any other developed country where some of those ideas around not wanting to think about death are very prominent. And so therefore I think, yeah, it's only natural. We want to live for as long as we can, and we tend to think it's not going to happen to us, and it's not going to happen to anyone in our family or our whānau, and we just kind of barrel on ahead. But of course, we all have to die, and that's when it becomes abundantly obvious that sometimes we're not that well prepared, and that's what the study is about.
So you'll be leading this investigation into Māori whānau end-of-life cultural care customs. Could you just briefly explain what this study will entail?
Yeah, kia ora. Okay, so the very first thing I'd like to say is that the Te Arawai Palliative Care and End-of-Life Group, Kaumātua, call for the study. Now, this is a group of Kaumātua who are very well connected to their communities. They wear a lot of different hats in terms of the roles that they provide in their paid work and also in their community work. They noticed that there are many Māori whānau that are not able to retain their care customs. Now, that is due to things like assimilation, urban drift, a lot of urban Māori now. And also, as you know, a lot of us are losing our kaumātua. Māori don't tend to live as long as non-Māori, and so a lot of our kaumātua, and including in my own family, have died. And these are older people with a lot of knowledge of traditions, and these are the people that mentor us, their children and grandchildren, into providing those traditional end-of-life care customs. So Rawiri Wharemate, our senior kaumātua, he brought this take, or this concern, to me, and I said to him, what would you like us to do about it in the School of Nursing? We have a wonderful professor, Maren Gott, who really supports Indigenous research around end-of-life care issues, particularly for older people. And together as a group, we decided to conduct a three-year study looking at gathering information about some of these care customs that are still being retained by whānau, because there are many families that have retained them, and there are many families that are creatively adapting them and doing all sorts of things to try and provide that wrap around the older person at end of life, or anybody that could be dying. It could be a younger person, for example. And we have been very, very fortunate that the Health Research Council have seen some merit or some validity in what we're trying to do, and they have funded us. We're thrilled about it. And so this means we can gather information from four different communities. We can bring that information together and offer it as a free toolkit, if you like, an online educational toolkit with real stories, like digital stories, that families can tell a particular aspect of caregiving that they do. And we're going to have these digital stories available, brochures, iPods, you know, segments of interviews with whānau, rongoā experts, those are people that are proficient in natural Māori medicine, and also tohunga, those are the people that are proficient in spiritual care practices, and also Māori palliative care experts. And that might be a doctor or a nurse, or it could be the tea lady or the tea man, or it could be a kaumātua, because our whānau provide care in very different ways across all the spectrums, and within the home, and also within a hospice or a hospital setting or a residential care facility setting. So yeah, it's very broad, but we're very excited about it.
Yeah, definitely. And in somewhere like New Zealand, it is so important to actually retain these traditions and things when we are facing, you know, so much immigration and things like that. It can be a case that they do almost just get swamped. So how might this study actually work to protect and maintain these traditions for the future?
I think it will be a landmark, really. I really do. Look, we've even got Mary Schumacher, the CEO of Hospice New Zealand, putting up her hand and saying, we value this work and we're going to embed it in our training programs. We're going to be embedding it in our standards and our palliative care work that we do, and we're going to embed it in our policy and whatnot. So, and we know that Hospice New Zealand will get behind this and share it with other people as well. Now, we have a saying in our Māori culture, and that is, if we get this right for Māori, we get it right for all people. And what that really means is that we're trying to push a door open here to say, hey, look, these cultural customs are actually valuable. They help us. I have evidence in the studies that we've undertaken in the School of Nursing to say that when our whānau retain those cultural care customs and use them alongside Western knowledge of Western biomedical health, when we do that and bring those together, families are very, very empowered to lead this end-of-life work, because we need to become very knowledgeable. We've got 48% projected increase of Māori deaths within the next 20, 30 years. So whānau have to be prepared to do that work. You know, the baby boomers are coming up. Now, that's not just for Māori. Non-Māori too have an increase of older people at the end of life. And I like to think that non-Māori and other cultures too can look at what we're doing here and sort of say to themselves, well, we've got our own customs. Let's do something similar. Let's bring something together as a free resource to strengthen our whānau, our families, as they approach the end of life. And so I think it's not just valuable for us, but it's also valuable for other cultures. And let's not forget too that many, many non-Māori, and I'm talking about Pākehā people here, people of this land, people that themselves I would consider are as much a part of the fibre and fabric of Aotearoa as my own tūpuna, because they are often fifth, sixth, seventh generation now, a lot of these Pākehā here, and feel very much connected to the land and everything that goes on in this land. And I know many Pākehā people that love our Māori cultural traditions, and that would probably also benefit from actually learning a lot of what it is we do, and might even adopt some of that stuff for themselves. And if it helps, why not?
Coming from like a Pākehā perspective myself, we have kind of, we might overly medicalize these kind of things, where we don't have the, living in New Zealand especially, we don't have the cultural grounding that Māori do, and we can definitely learn from that. So I was thinking, how can wider New Zealand actually implement this into our healthcare system?
Oh, kia ora. When we finish the study, and we are talking now about 2020, it will be, an online educational resource will be freely available on our School of Nursing website. Actually, most of what we do now in the School of Nursing, we are wanting to translate the findings into some visual or creatively inspired resource for people to access free of charge. So, for example, on YouTube, Palliative Care TV, we have sitting there digital stories about Māori whānau experiences of an aspect of end-of-life care. We also have developed a film, and this was the direct findings from the Te Pākehātanga study, which was a bicultural study of bereaved families and whānau in the Bay of Plenty region, a sub-study of the LILAC's longitudinal study of positive ageing. And we interviewed bereaved families and whānau and asked them what actually happened on the end-of-life journey with that kaumātua, that older person before they died. What happened there? And we're sort of trying to tease out what some of the issues were around poor palliative care, or what are some of the things that worked well with palliative care? What were the circumstances surrounding that older person that died? And what we've done with that is we've taken some of these key messages, or these key stories, if you like, that came out of our study, and we have put that together with real actors. And so that film is freely available too. Now that tells us a heck of a lot about palliative care in Aotearoa and what is needed and what we can do to improve upon those services. And we're very lucky we work with Professor Shuchi Kothari and also Dr. Serena Pearson in the university, and they are award-winning film producers. So we're so fortunate in the School of Nursing that we can draw upon people with these expertise to help us do this work. Now, in the work that I do, I get asked to speak quite a bit at different things. So, for example, last week I was down at the Cancer Nurse Coordinator Conference and I presented our film, Farewell Haere Aturā. Predominantly, the nurses that were there and the health providers that were there were non-Māori. And, of course, they get the stuff and they embrace the stuff because it is about culture. But everyone has a culture. And so when we can... when we can draw out the cultural values that people have at end of life, and Pākehā have them too, then, you know, this is great. We're helping each other and we can share. And I think part of what we're going to be doing in our study is also kind of opening that door and saying, well, what is the non-Māori cultural values and practices that say, for example, Pākehā or New Zealanders have at end of life? And I'm just doing some study at the moment and doing some analysis, and there is a culture there. You know, people like to have their body, their physical appearance maintained. They like their mana or their status, their personal authority. They want that upheld right to the moment where they die. So that might mean attending to people's physical appearance and brushing their hair and putting on their lipstick, for example. It could mean something to do with looking after the family. There's a whole culture around caring for families. We have it in Māoridom, but it's also there in Pākehā whānau too. So, you know, the cup of tea and biscuit or the cup of tea and sandwich, that is so important at a time when people are feeling very vulnerable. Perhaps somebody is in hospital, somebody's dying, and a nurse or someone brings the whānau a drink and a sandwich. I mean, just kindness, for example. Kindness is a value. And when health professionals show our families and whānau kindness, it just goes a long way to help. So it's not all about the biomedical. I totally agree with you there.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.